Delighted now to be joined by Brian Hanley, goal under 20 manager, and hopefully we'll have goal senior hurling selector Kevin Lally with us in the next few minutes. Brian, before we do jump into the club hurling action in round two of the championship across senior and intermediate last weekend, news emerging that Micheál Donoghue has been announced as the new Dublin senior hurling manager. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's a great appointment for all, isn't it? Like, because Micheál has a wealth of experience. He's a top-class manager. He's got his backroom team in situ for a few years. They know each other. They trust each other. They know how to work with each other. And I think it's a good appointment for him if he's anxious to get back into inter-county management again. I think it's good for both parties. Dublin are getting a top-class manager with a proven record and All-Ireland success, which Galway haven't had. And he'll get all the infrastructure right in Dublin. The talent at his disposal and maybe natural talent compared to what he would have in Galway may be different, slightly different. But I suppose Matty Kenny and his backroom team would have done great work the last number of years. So I think for me, all there's a win-win because we're Dublin right at the minute. You know, there's really an improvement is easier to make than go back the way any further. And I think they won't go back any further. So I wish him and Franny and Noel all the best. And I think it's a great appointment for all.
Think he can bring it up to the next level?
Oh, I would. I think it's not just him. It's the package he brings with him. I would. Yeah, Dublin hurling. Like it's only 2 years ago they won the Leinster under 20, or well maybe whatever it was 3 years ago or two last year as it was with COVID. So there are players coming through, and it depends in the breakdown of the dual player what happens. And you know there is like they have the infrastructure and they have the money behind them, which is a great start. And as I said, natural talent. You know, Coole were dominant in club hurling for a few years. You know, they have some very, very good hurlers, and on their day, Dublin can beat anyone. And they have been a pain in the backside for Galway hurling for the last number of years when we play them, particularly in Parnell Park. So I think it's a great move for all, and I think he will take them. He will be a force of them. I do, yeah.
Another man as well from Galway being linked to an inter-county vacancy, Johnny Kelly to Offaly. I suppose there was indications a few weeks ago of Liam Sheedy and Eamon O'Shea, but it looks like Johnny Kelly could be in pole position to get that job now.
Yeah, well, he's worked with was it Coole Derry, or I can't think which of the club teams he worked with in Offaly, and he's been part of the senior setup. And I think, you know, it's just keeping the status quo, moving it on. So again, for Johnny's been around the block a long time. You know, he's managed a lot of teams and a lot of clubs and been involved with county structures and in different shapes and forms. So, you know, I think Offaly are getting a top class manager. He's won with Portumna. You know, I think it's a great move for him and for Offaly, and I don't think they'll go wrong there.
So far, I suppose, with the championship in senior and intermediate, particularly at senior, what have you made of it so far? I suppose it is like it's a long way away, I suppose, now until we get to the knockout stages, and I suppose with the 24 teams and everything. But the championship so far, overall, what have you made of it?
Well, I was away for the first weekend. I was on holidays. But I saw a few games last weekend, and it's very, very competitive. Like you would still say, judging by results, even though I haven't seen St. Thomas play, and by all accounts, the first week, their game against was it Clanmurdaly was an outstanding game. That they are that step above and that step ahead of everybody else, from what you can see. But there is a chase and pack. I was at Clarenbridge the last day in Turlochmore. You know, yeah, there's Loughrea have won their two games. You know, but I think clubs are only jockeying for position at the moment to make sure they qualify. And I think come August, I think that's when the real championship will kick off.
And for you, what puts performances, I suppose, ahead of the rest?
Well, I think the consistency, like their level of performance, like when we were going well in the club in Athenry for a number of years, the one thing we always had was a consistent performance. Like, but Thomases are they know how to win, and they're doing it in their own style. And since they won last year, they won very, very well last year. They look refreshed, they look rejuvenated. You know, Kenneth's doing a great job with them since Kevin moved on, and they have a close-knit bunch, and they know how to win. You know, and that counts for a lot. Like, you know, they just seem to be able to get over the line in games, and they know how to ground out the results, and they trust each other, they trust their process, and you know, winning becomes a habit, and they have that habit at the minute. Like,
everyone with that team will talk about a rich family position with obviously the Burkes and the Cooneys and all these coming through at once. But Is it their ability as well for one or two kind of young herders coming through in the last few years?
Yeah, well, you see, they, like, we had two players that we had, one player under 16 a good few years ago, John Head. He came on 2 years ago when his first county middle won again last year. Connor Head was part of our squad last year, came on, played Connor back in the minor team that got beaten. They've been able to add in a few every year. And then, but they aren't over-reliant on just the Coonies and the Burks. They need their 17 or 18, and they always seem to be able to get a player that can do a job for them within the system and understand their culture and values that they bring to the table and you know, just keep the wheel moving the way they want to keep it moving. And fair credit to them, like, for such a small club and small parish, that they're actually getting maximum out of themselves, which is great for them. Like,
we're joined now as well by Kevin Lally on the line. Kevin, just talking about your, I suppose, former club you were over, St. Thomas's, for you, what makes them such a special bunch to work with?
Hi, lads. Yeah, sure, look, they're a phenomenal outfit, and what makes them so good, I suppose, is probably their culture, and I suppose the way their desire, the way they train, the way they imply themselves, I suppose, on the field and off the field. Phenomenal group, I suppose, phenomenal club, and I suppose that helps as well when you've top administrators in the club, and I suppose that seeps down through it. But yeah, brilliantly ran club, great super players up there, and just doing an awful lot of the right things, and I suppose doing that consistently. Like, and I suppose you look at them this year, like, these guys have lost what now? They've lost one game in over 4 years, like, which is phenomenal going, like, you know. They don't look like they're going to stop anytime soon either. Like, Anthony, I've seen often so far, they look like, there's no doubt about it, they're the team to beat. But yeah, really strong side, really strong club, and a really well ran club as well, I'd have to say. Yeah.
Do you still see them as number one this year, Kevin?
Sure, you'd have to, Paul. Yeah, like, again, they're going about their business nice and quietly, 2 from 2 again, putting up big scores. A lot of the big players again playing well. You see Conor Cooney notching 111 the weekend. And again, I suppose something like what we'd have done over the years as well, they've added another couple of players in again this year. Conor Head has drifted in, cornerback. Victor Manzo's come in around the middle of the field. Two great additions again, because obviously they picked up a couple of injuries with David Sherry and with obviously Shane Cooney as well, obviously. So to fit two guys in again seamlessly is credit to Kenneth Burke and his management team again, yeah.
Just there, we were talking about it before you came on here, Kevin, like, with Thomas's, there's been one or two players coming through every year. If you go back to, I suppose, your last year, like, Oisin Flannery and Evan Duggan coming through, but, like, how important is that in a club, even if you're just getting one or two every year?
Sure, it's the key, yeah. I suppose during my term up there, like, that's what something we did every year. We dipped in Evan Duggan, Oisin Flannery, Keane Mahoney, all these guys, and I suppose that's probably testament to the work that the guys are doing at underage level. They might not be winning A titles up along, be it from 14, 16s and minors, but they're consistently, you know, working hard, and there's a lot of good people up there doing good work. So I suppose when you get them to up to adult level, it's very easy to dip them in, because there's probably so much work being done with them up along, and I suppose then you can dip them in into a team that's going well. Of course, it's making it easier, but it's probably testament to the guys up there doing so much good work at underage level that they're ready, and that they're ready to jump into obviously a top senior side.
One of the other games in that group, Brian, Clarenbridge and Turlough Moor as well over the weekend. People will obviously say Clarenbridge are the next team up to Thomas's. And the result, I suppose, in the manner they defeated Turlough Moor in has definitely caught a few eyebrows over the weekend.
Yeah, I was at that game. Yeah, it was like, there wasn't much in it in the first half. You know, they were evenly matched enough. I suppose Clarenbridge got a run on them in the second half. But both, I think it's fair to say both sides were missing a few. You know, as I said to you earlier on, you can just see clubs are jockeying for position. They are jockeying to get through and get to the next stage and move on. I suppose, you know, Turlough will have aspirations of being there at the business end of it. You know, last year, especially after last year, what happened, we'll have to hurt them a good bit, you'd imagine. And, you know, you'd have to expect Turlough with the quality of player that they have. And I think it's the panel now, like, it's for them. They have a strong 20-odd players. You see their intermediate team are pushing as well too. I think they have 2 wins as well. So, you know, both them sides will want to be there at the business end. But Clarenbridge looked impressive. Now, I think Clarenbridge, what stands out for me is their backs. They're, no matter who they've in it, they have a solid structure. They're very, very secure. They don't give away goals easily. And I think that stands them in good stead. You know, they're well drilled, and you know, you'd have to, while the game may not have been the classic I thought it would have been and the other even, but I think they both have good potential going forward, and particularly Clarenbridge.
Something different though that they've done this year, Brian, just go for the reports over the weekend. TJ Brennan was up in the forwards around 11 over the weekend. That's a different dimension that added to their attack.
Yeah, it's a dimension they'd probably look at again, I'd say, if I'm being honest. You know, TJ won a lot of ball. He got, I think, maybe 1 point he got. You know, he was very, very different. I don't know if that's going to be their plan going forward, but for the last day, it certainly raised eyebrows. I didn't have expected that. I would have always seen TJ as being your wing-back, cornerback, full-back. I didn't, you know, maybe as far as midfield, we had him in the colleges and that. We've seen him playing for UL and that, when we played the freshers and that. But yeah, it was a different dimension. He's a good ball winner for them. He can set up a lot. But they have Evan Gavin and Mark Kindy, like, who can score, you know, from anywhere. Like, and maybe that's what they're trying to do, get a quarterback sort of role for him to set them up and you know, and make it easier for them. And that may be the way they're looking at it.
Kevin, you're obviously with the Galway Seniors this year. Like, is there anyone so far during the championship that's caught your eye? I'm sure you're keeping an eye on the management team with performances.
Actually, there's probably loads of guys, Paul. Yeah, I suppose we're only in game two of game eight, I suppose. So I suppose you're probably not going to judge any guy on the first day or the second day. But and I suppose that's the way we'll all be judging on them. But yeah, there's loads of guys that are putting their hand up so far, and a lot of good underage players as well. A lot of younger guys are really putting their hands up. But yeah, no, it's probably a bit early to be judging guys and saying such a guy is going to come in or such a guy is going to come out and that kind of stuff. But there's been loads of guys putting their hand up, but I suppose they're going to be judged over the course of the season, or in a lot of cases an 8-game season.
How did you find your first year with the Galway Seniors this year?
Good, Paul. Yeah, sure. I suppose it's been busy at that level. It's crazy busy, but no, fierce enjoyable. Loved working with the management. Loved working with the players. Very driven group of players, and yeah, fierce enjoyable. Look, would we have loved to have gone a step or two further? We would have, but I suppose we're like every other county now. We're down at the bottom of the mountain again, and we'll be starting again in November, December time. Yeah.
And just on the Clarenbridge Turlough game as well, Kevin, I suppose the reaction people would have wanted to see from Clarenbridge this year, beating finalists, how would they react? But like, so far they've been really good.
No doubt, yeah. Like, I'm sure they were hurting from the losing the county final last year, and but they've obviously backed that up, and they're 2-2. And I suppose people have to realise as well, they're down a couple of players. Obviously, Ian O'Brien's out injured, Mikey Daly's out injured. They're key players to them. Like, and I suppose that's probably the Mikey Daly one was probably the one that they probably freed TJ Brennan up to go up centre forward, to give them a different perspective up top. But I think they've been really impressive so far. As I said, 2-2. Doesn't seem to be any hangover from losing a county final. So they're sitting nicely there. Yeah, 2-2.
Just the third game in that group as well over the weekend, Brian. It was a bit of a thriller, you could say, between Sarsfields and Castlegar.
Yeah, I didn't see that game. I know that Castlegar were ahead or were behind for most of that game. I know Greg got a goal in the beginning, but Castlegar, they just struggled to catch up with Sarsfields all through. I know Sarsfields got a goal at the end, but the worrying thing about that was that John Cooney actually played that whole game with a concussion injury. You know, he didn't remember any of the game afterwards. You know, he was in hospital on Sunday night. I think they did well to dig out a result there, considering. But I think Sarsfields are a team for me that'll be the dark horse of the championship this year. You know, they just have, you know, going back to what I said about Thomas and their culture and value system that they have, they seem to have it the same way. They bring on and develop Sarsfields players in a Sarsfields way. And, you know, I would have expected Sarsfields to beat Castlegar. I'd expect Sarsfields to be very, very much at the business end of it when it comes to it. And when they have a lot of young talent that we've worked with, you know, Alex and John being two, you know, John Cosgrove played, you know, they've more coming in. You know, Shane Hines, a fullback, or Kevin Hines, a fullback, was very, very good. You know, they're bringing in a few, and they'll be there, thereabouts, and they'll be very positive where they are at the moment.
Kevin Cooney was a player who looked really sharp over the weekend.
Yeah, he's a guy that's in a really good vein of form. He finished the year, with us. He finished the year really, really good, and he's taken that form on. In the first couple of games, he's been really good. He's probably been the standout forward, if I'm honest, in the club championship over the first two rounds. Himself and Darren Murphy in the corner. So yeah, Kevin's been really good. Blistering pace, such a good eye for a goal, and I think by playing young Darren Murphy inside with him, I think that's given them a real go-to inside. There's obviously great pace, great directness about the two of them. But both of them, I think, have been really impressive.
Do you see Castlegar and Clan Ready maybe as the two teams who could struggle in this? It just seems with them four teams, they might be a bit ahead of them, Kevin.
Look, it's hard to know, Paul. Like, again, it's probably early to be judging, because like you're going to be judging, I suppose, probably the way clubs are looking at this is rounds three and four are going to be moving week in the club or moving games within the club. So for now, it's just a little bit of jockeying for position. I know even in some clubs, there's still some guys in the States and that kind of stuff. So you're going to see different teams going in the next couple of rounds as well. But I think it'd be a bit early to be saying, you know, such a team is going to struggle. I don't think you can really make judgment of that. Probably looking at that round four and round five, because remember, with four teams coming out of the group, probably a couple of wins, 3 points, potentially 4 points will definitely get you through. So there's still plenty of points on offer. So I don't think you'd be writing anybody's obituary just yet, no.
Do you still think Castlegar and Clonmacnoise could have a say here, Brian?
I'd expect so. I expect Clonmacnoise would. Like, they were very, very unlucky against St. Thomas in the first game. They just, it was that against Clonbridge in the first game. It was only the last few minutes that caught them up. And Castlegar, I was with Crawford last year. We played them. You know, we beat them a point, and we were lucky to beat them. But you'd have to expect so. And I agree with Kevin. As I said in the very beginning, of this it's only jockeying for position in the first two rounds. I know that there are lads coming back into the fold from injuries and from away. So I think three and four. I think the last two weekends, you know, two wins potentially will get you through. And I think that's what a lot of clubs will be focusing on as well, pending where they are now. You know,
dangerous in the senior A Group 2 over the weekend. I suppose the one eye-catching thing there has to be the score. Captagal racked up over the weekend, Kevin. Beating Kilkenny 426-121, but like to put up 426 is really the most impressive aspect of that.
There's no doubt, yeah. I think they're the leading scorers in the championship as well, Capitagal. And again, I suppose a player myself and Brian know well, and Liam Collins is at to the four as well. I think he got 12 points the weekend, like, and he's a guy that's going really well. Niall Collins the same. Jack Mannion looks to have his injuries behind him. So James Egan up top, Damien Joyce came on the weekend. So they have a nice mix of forwards, and they're going to be a threat. There's no doubt about it. They're definitely a top four, top five side, Capitagal. And but that their offensive play, and I even see Declan Cronin playing wing back. He got 1-2, I think, you know, so they seem to have threats all over the field. And Evan is back in good form. Offensively, they look really good. They've, as I said, they've a great selection of players. And I suppose led probably at the minute by the two Collins and Niall and Liam, they've been excellent, yeah.
The character of that club is just remarkable, Kevin, isn't it, really, when you consider the amount of semi-finals they have fallen short at.
Yeah, it is, and like no better guys to keep coming back. Like, they've got a couple of sucker punches in a couple of semi-finals. We bet them in one there, I think by a point or whatever, back a couple of years back with Thomas's, and still keep coming. And I suppose it's probably a testament to their underage as well. I think they're in the under 20 final, probably, correct me in this, and under 20 A1 final, I think, coming up. So it just shows the work that's been done there at underage level up along, and it's great, and a bit like Thomas's, they're dipping younger players in every year as well, which is great. And I suppose they're lucky then that they've a couple of the boys won't like be saying this now, the older players, the Damien Joyce's, the James Scale, all these guys to be still there, and where they can dip in a couple of the players in as well. But doing great work at club close to my own down home, and doing great work, and they're going to be there thereabouts as well. They're going to have a big say in the championship, as you said, offensively really strong, and they're the leading scorers in the championship after two rounds.
Do you think they'll be thereabouts again, Brian?
Yeah, I was at the game Kilkenairn played. Now, Kilkenairn were missing a lot. I suppose, I know, apart from my own club, Athenry, Kilkenairn would be the next club that I'd be most affiliated with, and they were missing a lot. But the scary fact about that was that came to me during the game was in the last 15 minutes, Kilkenairn won that 15 minutes 9-7. And Capitagal had taken off an awful lot of their go-to men. Like, Liam Collins was just absolutely outstanding. And as for last night, the performance he gave in the under-21 A1 or whatever it was against Loughrea, he was just unmarkable and unplayable. And like, when you have a marquee forward like that who can take the amount of abuse he can take and still produce what he does. And like, Kevin and I were at the pin of our collar a year ago to win a game. And when that ball went to Liam, 10 times out of 10, anyone would have caught it and taken on the goalie and got the free, he just automatically flicked to the back of the net. And that's a guy that's thinking a level ahead of the normal or the above average player, like, in, particularly in the forwards. But I think Capitagal, they seem to have got their mojo back this year. They, you know, of course they're going to want to come back. The hurt of losing semi-finals, you can use that in the only positive way is to come back and put it right, like, you know. And I think they will. But bear in mind, on the Kilkenny side of it last day, they were missing an awful lot of their players, and they're down a lot. So they're going to struggle this year. They know that themselves, you know, and I think they'll be in a rebuild for next year.
Brian, as well, your own side, Crawwell, you worked with last year. That game against Loughrea, just the start was a killer for them. They went down 1-10 to a point, and they did crawl it back and nearly had Loughrea back, but just left themselves with too much work to do.
Yeah, they did ultimately. I only saw the second half of that, and they were very competitive. They missed a few frees. Things went wrong. Things went not so right for them as well. But yeah, they were. They'll still take a lot of heart from that, because Loughrea again would, you know, who Crawwell were missing. They were missing, you know, Mark Horan, who was captain last year, missing one or two. There were Niall Healy's an awful lot of them. You know, you can say what you like. He's probably been the most consistent forward in Galway Club Hurling for the last number of years. Like, you know, he's very, very consistent. He's been carrying Crawwell through thick and thin a lot of the time. And they just fell short. Whether Loughrea took the foot off the gas or not remains to be seen, and time will tell that. But yeah, they'll still qualify. You'd imagine they still, now I know they have two or three big games coming up, but you'd expect them to do so and push on like they were last year. We got the semi-final, and you know, they didn't do themselves justice against Clarence Bridge. And you know, I think they will push on.
14 points as well, Kevin, for Thomas Monaghan is another performance definitely caught the eye over the weekend.
Yeah, and he won't mind me saying this. He probably left a few behind him as well. Like, he left a few frees behind him, missed a penalty. Yeah, brilliant performance by him again. But I suppose Crawford will probably just need a couple more forwards just to step up as well and take the pressure off Tom a little bit. Jamie Ryan was good, Dean Cannon was good, but there's probably just a few more of them there really need to step up. They're in an okay position. They're 2 points from four. They'll be happy enough. They've Capitagal coming down the track, I think, for next for them. So they'll still be happy enough, and they'll still be quite confident to get them out of the group. Yeah.
Loughrea, Kevin, 4 points from two games. Probably might be disappointed in the end with how they let, I suppose, Crawford back into that game, but a player that has played underage hurling at minors in 2011, Martin McManus, was probably someone who caught the eye, I'd say, for your own management team over the weekend.
Yeah, he's been really good. He's been really impressive. Very direct runner, very strong individual, obviously. I think the system that they're playing inside suits him with the two inside, and he plays a very deep inside, so he says he's very close to the inline, and I think that's helping him. They play to a very particular style, and I think the way they're playing at the minute really suits the likes of him and maybe Jamie Ryan and these guys as well. But you're right about Martin McManus. He's been very impressive, very direct, very powerful runner. He's been excellent so far for Loughrea.
And just the other game in that group over the weekend, Tommy Larkins took on Gort. Tommy Larkins winning out 123 to Gort 121 points. 2 points in the end, Brian. Victory for Tommy Larkins, and it's a win they didn't need in that group.
Yeah, but Tommy Larkins have been consistently, you know, playing well the last number of years. The results, they've put themselves in position. I think it was 2 years ago they were knocked out in scoring difference. You know, they're going the right way about it. And like Tommy's Gort, Crawwell, you know, they're going to be, one of them will probably end up not getting through, like, and you know, they've got a fair battle ahead of them. But I think Tommy's will win more. I think they'll be okay. I think Gort have a few coming back from America. I know there's a lot of lads injured in that, and you know, it's tough. Senior A hurling is tough. Like, you get you know, morale is a big thing. You lose one or two and, you know, you get a bit of unlucky and you're down to three and then you're fighting in the last two rounds. So, you know, but I think Tommy's will get through eventually, Sutherland.
Just on that, with the Senior A and Senior B system, just coming to you first, Kevin, about it, like, do you think it is the right system? Because you're looking here and, like, there's going to be some teams who miss out, I suppose, on the knockout stages in Senior A, and then you're having Senior B teams who will advance.
Yeah, sure. I suppose it's the old chestnut, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose we're talking about this a while, but I suppose this change coming on this. I know next year is going to be a 16 team senior championship. So I suppose that change is coming. I think this is the last year of this format. So I suppose this is the end of the road for this format. But I like this format, I have to say, being involved in it. I think it's nice, and I suppose particularly if you're senior A, but it does give you a little bit of leeway. Yes, of course, you get your prize. If you're in one and two, you get straight to a quarterfinal. But sometimes, you know, if you picked up an injury too and you get a loss, you can still pick your way through it. You're in third place or fourth place, you get into a preliminary quarterfinal. And sometimes that can be the way to go, because I suppose during my time, sometimes when we're in the quarterfinal, we're sometimes waiting 3 weeks, so it was hard. You could get picked off in a quarterfinal. So I suppose there's pros and cons in it. Then obviously, you know, if you're in the bottom two positions in the group, you're probably there for a reason, because, you know, you're going to have five games to play and you really should be picking up points if you have any ambition to kick on in the championship.
How did you find the system, Brian, being involved in
that? I suppose it's changed a lot from our playing days, where you had four in the group and you had to win nearly all your games straight off, or you wouldn't get out. And then when you're managing, like last year, you had a comfort zone that, you know, that you knew you'd probably get through. And I didn't like the last round. I think the last round of games do be the competitiveness can be taken away from them, because results are known and pending and you know where you are, and it mainly boils down, like last year with Castlegarrick, came to scoring difference whether Crowell topped the group or didn't, and whether Turlochmore could have beaten the Hasker by 13 or 14 points. That took away from the competitive edge of knockout hurling. For me, championship is knockout. And, you know, I like the system of where you have three or four games, albeit if you're not promoting hurling, then if you have lads out in the middle of summer or whatever, but it is giving everyone an opportunity to get through, and it gives you an opportunity not to take, you know, you can miss the first few rounds and then get through, but I'd rather knock out hurling, as in you get your two or three games and you have to get the business into them and get results from the off. I think that makes it more competitive. But I do agree with Kevin. It was, and it is, a danger getting into a quarterfinal. As in our time, if you'd be in a semi-final, you could have a six-week wait because you have preliminaries or quarters and you get in and they have games ahead of you. That is an advantage coming in if you've avoided injuries. So I don't know if you'll ever keep anybody happy, but I really like the knockout the way that was in the three or four group games.
Then just moving on to the Senior B in Group 1, two teams with 100% record there so far. A team you would have expected, I suppose, to have 100% record for an opening two games, or more married, but maybe a surprise package, you could say, just up from intermediate, along with them who have 100% record, Kevin, in my column.
Yeah, good side. I actually saw them the first night to play that and right the first night, and thought they were very good actually the first night there, obviously. They look like they're building a new team again, I suppose. A player himself and Brian, I know Jeremy Davern was very good that night now, and Aina Davern, the two of them were really good. Aina Noon was very good for them again, I think, believe the weekend. But they're going to be very happy where they are. Obviously, John Hardy's out there doing good work. Two from two, they'll be fierce happy. Mark Lydon back playing well, back at centre back, looks like he's injury free. As I said, Aina Noon was really good. A couple of the younger lads were really good. Yeah, so they're going to be chuffed where they are, two from two, and delighted. And I suppose they're obviously caught up a little bit with the football as well. So to get two wins, you know, from your first two, they'll be thrilled with that.
Just for Oran Mór as well, Kevin, like, I suppose the thing there is Gareth McInerney hasn't been with them, like, so to get two wins without him as well.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, they seem to be in a good place. Two from two. Obviously, Garrow just still nursing the knee injury, so to get two wins without him is great going. But look, at I suppose Oran Mór, they're probably saying to themselves, we're probably a senior A club. They're a senior A club there for the last couple of years. They'll be itching to bounce straight back up, and they look like they're going about it the right way, don't they? They're putting up good scores, good spread of scores as well. They've started a good few younger players again back into the team. So they're in a lovely position.
Brian, your own club, Athenry, put it came as a shock to lose that game to Mike Cullen. But the Kilnadeem and Leitrim game in Athenry, it was really one of the games of the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose it was a disaster from an Athenry point of view, losing to Mike Cullen the first day, although Mike Cullen deserved to win it. Like my cousin was playing with Mike Cullen, and I knew the work they'd done after they lost to Kilkenny last year in intermediate. I think John Hardy, in all fairness, and the rest of them up to it a good bit. They haven't got the interconnection with the football as much as they had as dual players. They have that link as they haven't as many caught up or playing it in. It was really the only one. They you know, Athenry had to turn it around, and they played very, very well. As good as I've seen Athenry playing in a number of years. They were very, very good. You know, they got some absolute great scores the first half. But Leitrim Kilnadeema had about seven wides in the first 10 minutes, and Athenry got ahead. Got a good goal from Kyle Kane. They were moving on. Ronan Hardiman was very, very good. They looked very solid. And in the second half, we got well ahead again with 6 minutes to go, 10 or 11 points up. And lo and behold, time up, we're hanging on by our short tails again. You know, and this has happened last year, two or three times. It was Tini Abidinari caught us last year, you know, where we threw away big leads. And that'll be a worry. But I think to get over what happened the first day and to get a result, you know, they've got a big games coming up now. They have Behan, and you know, they have Oranmore, they've got Tina, they have big games. But I think Athenry will get great confidence from that. You know, they have been, these young lads in particular, have been living in the shadow of a team that went ahead of them, and we found it very hard as a club to shake off that. But I think last Sunday was the first time I saw a real, real good, confident performance in what they did. And all credit to Kieran and the management there. I think they'll progress well this year.
Kyle Kane's 2-3 as well from play was the most impressive performance over the weekend.
Yeah, Kyle was away for a few years, and he was you know, he was caught up in different things, and you know, life, college, different things gets on them. Like, you know, they were good, but Leitrim still have a role to play. And like, it's unfortunate Adam Nolan's gone for the year, possibly gone for 9 or 10 months, pending his scan back in the shoulder after the game. He was up in Santry today. So he's going to be out for a good while. You know, he'll be lost them. But, you know, both sides have a lot of good players and they'll want to push on. But from an Athenry perspective, I think it's the first time in a long time, you know, they just feel confident that these lads are going to progress and move on. But I just wish Adam well, and we'll be in touch with him shortly.
Then in Senior B, Group 2, Kevin, safe to say, Pádraig Tumlair are building really well so far in this championship.
Yeah, again, and you're right what you're saying there. I suppose they are building a new team, yeah, but I suppose they're lucky to have, obviously, Joe and Andy Smith and these guys are sitting around Ivan and sitting goals. But yeah, they're dotting in a couple of guys. That Declan McLaughlin and these guys have been really good, and they're putting up good scores as well. And Jack Henning is back in good form. He's injury free. He's playing really good stuff. So they'll be really happy as well, because obviously they're 2 from 2 as well, and they're in a really good position to put themselves in a contention for a preliminary quarter final.
Jack Henning at wing back as well, Kevin.
Yeah, he's played a good bit there last year, and I suppose he's continued on there again this year. I suppose he's such a big, strong, powerful fella. I think he's concentrating on the hurling. I don't think he's playing much rugby, but he's a great athlete and stuff, and he's playing great stuff. Yeah.
Are they the favourites, Brian, to top that group?
It's hard to know, because you know, it's just in the first two rounds that, you know, you just know what way teams are set up or who's coming back into it, but they're in a very, very strong position. You know what I mean? Like, Decky McLaughlin was very, very consistent last year for them. He brought on to the under-20s. He was very, very good for us in all our games. I know we'd only one competitor, but we'd 12 or 13 challenges, and every day he was consistently scoring, you know. See, they're going the right way. They've added in a few other younger lads that we had in development squads and academy squads, and they're coming good. And you know, I know from talking to Damien Coleman about them that they're in a good spot. They were very, very unlucky last year. They should have beaten Bart in that game above in Loughrea. So you know, you'd expect that they would, yeah.
And on your own club, Kevin, Pádraig Pearse, is Ben Hasker in that local derby really seeing, I suppose, the fruition a couple of years ago from that youth coming through, the likes of Jack Barrett, Dean Riley, Oisín Flannery, having blueprints now all over that team?
Yeah, that's just it. No, these guys, I suppose, have been crying out for a few years for the couple of the guys there, the Oisín Flannery's, the Dean Riley's, as you said, to really push on. And I think that's the way it's panned out now. Oisín Flannery's gone centre back for them. He's playing well. He's probably moved from forward back to defence, and that's worked well. But the standout probably was Dean Riley. He got 7 points from play. It was a great return. He's in really good form, and it was a big plus when you get a corner forward scoring 7 points from play. Tomás Flannery was really good as well, as he always is for Pearce's, because he's just a phenomenally consistent good player for Pearce's over the years. Really good, got his 8 points from frees, fed Dean Riley with an awful lot of good ball. Tommy McDonough, really good wing back as well. He had a great game. Yeah, but they'll be happy. They were probably hurting from the Mully game the first day. They probably felt that was probably a game they probably could have, maybe should have won. But to bounce back and, I suppose, beat your local rivals as well is probably all the sweeter. But they're in a nice position now. I think the Portumna next, which will be it'll be an important game for them now as well. Yeah, and I think it's a game they're going to target. But they'll target the Portumna game, and they'll go at that now with a bit of confidence after picking up the win the last day.
And Lee Mellows as well, Brian. They probably think maybe they're a team that should be up in Senior A. But to recover after losing in the opening day out and a 6-point victory over Mully at the weekend.
Yeah, that was a good result for them, but I didn't see it. I just listened to people at it that were at it, and that, and you know, they got a good start, and Mully just never pulled them back, you know. Like Ardrahan did very well the first day out. You know, they got beaten the last day, but like, you know, that's very, very close. Anyone can beat anyone in them games. And then you get a run on a team, you get a good start. You know, the Senior B is about, it's, you know, it's just to make sure that if you get the good start and you keep plugging away and keep the scoreboard ticking, you'll normally come out the right side of them. You know, Senior A, there's so much quality. And that's why they are where they are of all these teams, because of the quality ahead of them. But I think Lee Mellows will have aspirations and will be very hurt for coming down last year. But likewise, Clamor Daly, who managed to stay up on them at their expense, you know, they've done very, very well. So, you know, you can't take it for granted, Senior B. It's not very easy to come up out of it.
Just if we do touch on intermediate now, obviously the group's beginning to take a bit of shape there going into the final round in 2 weeks, well, next weekend, with four teams in that group, three rounds. Who's standing out there for you, Kevin, in intermediate at the minute?
To me, probably it's probably Climber so far, I'd say. Yeah, I think they're two from two, but they're probably the standout so far in the intermediate is probably Cropwell and Clarence Bridge. They're two from two. Do you know what I mean? And Cropwell, especially two from two, that's been brilliant after coming up from winning Junior A, to have two from two. I know Stephen Glennon is back involved with them boys there, and he's done great work, but that to me is massive. But yeah, the standout performance is probably Climber, maybe closely followed maybe by Raoul. But I saw Climber last year in the intermediate final, and I thought they were desperately unlucky, to be honest with you. But they look like they got back on the horse again. Kevin Haney's back playing well for them. He got a couple of goals the weekend as well. I they're probably my fancy as of now for the intermediate championship. Yeah.
Anyone else standing out there for you, Brian, in intermediate?
I think you have to ask questions of what's going on in Meath Aircourt. Like, you know, that they've been the bridesmaids so many years in that competition. You know what I mean? They have the players, they have the group. They won their first game. You know, they were very, very lucky, and then very, very unlucky not to get the win against Cardmore. Like, Cardmore were abysmal against Crowell in the first round. They put in a huge performance the last day. Had the game won in injury time. They were 3 points up and a point down in the 7 minute. Into Collins got a point to draw it. You know, again, you'd have to Climber, who did a small few sessions last year at one stage. They're very, very good. And I have to agree with Kevin. Climber seemed to be carrying that consistency of form and that what they had. But you'd have to, from looking at the outside in and the talent available to Meath Aircourt, I think, you know, their year has to come. And I would like to think that they will get it right further on the championship, you know, because there is talent there. They have a lot of good players. And, you know, I expect them to really, really, really test everyone ahead of them.
Just going into that final round, in the group one next weekend, Kevin, it sets it up really nicely between Turlough Moore and Cylon. I suppose Cylon maybe did surprise a few getting a draw with Ballandrine over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a real standout result, wasn't it? Like, and I have to say they do massive work down there as well. I think they've three teams affiliated this year. Did somebody tell me that? Which is phenomenal, you know, for a club like them, like to be able to affiliate three senior teams is phenomenal going. But yeah, that's going to be a big game. You'd have to fancy Ballandrine in saying that. You know what I mean? That, you know, with their pedigree and the character they have over there, after coming down from last year, you'd surely fancy Ballinder to be able to do that, yeah.
Then Brian, as you mentioned there, Karen Moore will be hoping maybe for results to go their way, Munich Aircourt, and then it's between, but Pro will have more points than Karen Moore. Group 3 wrapped up really already, Clymer and Abinac Moy. Rahun then sitting top with 4 points, but then you'd expect Kinvara to beat Annadown, put them through as well.
You'd expect that, but it's just the intermediate throws it up every year. There's a surprise package. Like last year, I don't think anyone would have said Clymer would have been there, and Clymer were very, very lucky to get through the quarterfinal. Ceylon had drew with them, and they beat them by a point in extra time. You know, so Ceylon, you know, there's so many teams there that they can, as on their day, they can beat anybody, and they get a run in the championship, and to get a bit of momentum, and that's what I would be suggesting about Aircourt. Aircourt don't seem to have got that run or that momentum. And you'd think if they did, as a year goes on, that they would have more than anybody else. But I think it will boil down to, you know, a Clymer and Aircourt. I think they'll be the two standouts. I think Crowell have behaved brilliantly to get through where they are. Ballinderry will be very disappointed. I know they're missing a lot of players. And from where coming down from senior, that is, it's a big hit for a club, you know, that has aspirations of doing well. But you know, I still think that the two teams that I mentioned, Clymer and Aircourt, they'll be the main ones. I think Karen Moore will be very disappointed the way the year has worked out. Now results, I think results, especially, I think they're really ruled out now, aren't they? So it's a big blow for them.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how that intermediate championship gets on next weekend. We'll know the quarterfinal opponents then. That's all on our show for today. Thanks many for your time, lads.
Thanks, Paul.